Blog Talk Radio.
Ronnie James Dio, Rainbow in the Dark. You know, I play a song quite often, and, you know, people think, but hey. Anyway, that's just one song we're starting out, but I'm going to bring Gunslinger here real quick, see how the weather's doing in Texas. Apparently, he's getting fucking ass handed to him. What's up, Gunslinger? Fuck, man.
Shit. I mean, what's blowing?
God yeah, damn. What's blowing on, man? I'm sorry to hear that, man. Fuck. That's crazy, man.
It's goddamn raining and fucking rain going sideways, and they spotted a thundercloud about 3 miles from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stream right below Dallas. It's got a squall line.
Ellis County, Red Oak right there, passed right over. About 3 miles.
Yeah, you're covered all the way up into Oklahoma. With a truck coming all the way through.
The whole goddamn line came through there.
And guess where it's going? Straight to fucking Missouri. straight to fucking
yeah.
you.
Yeah, it's coming.
That squall line won't.
We got a surprise coming.
Yeah, that squall line down below Dallas is going to look at going to get more go over Little Rock, and on to Tennessee,
yeah,
on and
northeast.
On. Yeah,
northeast. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my local grocery store had a fire the other day, yesterday. Matter of fact, they had bales of straw up against the building. You know, for Halloween, people buy bales of straw for Halloween bullshit, right? Well, apparently somehow it caught a fire. It blazed up like a bitch. Yeah. If you look at my Facebook post, you'll see it there. I posted it on Facebook. So, yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, that fucker was engulfed. It was getting it on. And like the fire chief said, you shouldn't fucking have in your building. Of course not. Common sense tell you, a flammable thing like that's like putting gasoline there, you dumb cocksuckers. I'm sure some fucker smoking a cigarette, you know. Some fucker was smoking a cigarette, threw it out. And
well, if it's hay, you know, it can spontaneous. If it's hay, it can spontaneous combust.
It can,
you
but
know.
I think it was straw. I think it was straw gunslinger. Yeah. Yeah, but that, there again, too, if it was wet, that hay could do the same thing.
Yeah, you same know? Thing. Straw can do the same thing.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
spontaneous combustion, absolutely. Yeah. I've seen it happen. I've seen hay barns catch on fire like that, you know.
They've been reporting some around here down, that they just poof.
Well, one thing, here's what the fucking problem is. They didn't let the shit dry enough. You know, that's the problem. They let dry enough, it's still kind of green, and that's where you get the problem, you know. I've learned that years
green
ago.
It starts this green is what starts the combustion. It starts
right, the moisture.
Rotting and
right, the moisture
and poof and
burning. Right. Right. It's like horse shit. You know, cow shit, horse shit.
Yeah, that's
know?
All you have.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine, didn't believe me one time. I told him, you know, he goes, this shit's like so you're smoking out there. Sick. It's on fire. He goes, oh, that don't burn us. Fuck, it don't. Go throw a match that motherfucker and watch what happens to you. He goes, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, but don't do it, man. I'm telling you, that fucker will blast you. It'll be a fucking move, you know. You don't want to fuck with that. That's nitrogen gas, man. You don't want to fuck around with that. I'm telling you, oh, fuck you. So he did. He threw a match at the motherfucker and got his ass burnt, so dumb fucker. So, you know, and he had a fire in his backyard for like 2 or 3 days, and there went all his fucking manure. You know, there's no ashes, dust is all it was. You know, that shit burnt to the fucking to nothing. People are fucking stupid. You know, we live in a retarded society. You know?
Oh yeah, retarded, retards.
Yeah,
yep.
But
retarded.
I've had piles of
no
manure shit out there cooking for weeks. You know, and the whole idea to let it do that is get rid of the seed that's in it from all the, you know, the plant life, the animals ingested, you know, and digested or whatever. Yeah, because you don't want that seed in there, especially if you're going to use for a fertilizer. Because then you got more weeds you got to fucking deal with. Yeah, I'm looking at this live on radar and see what it's doing here.
Yeah, you see where
it's down
below
Dallas. Well, it's pushing down. I think it's going to head for Louisiana, the way it's looking.
Well, it's pushing more east, northeast kind of.
Yeah, but it's pushing north, northeast, but it's pushing down, so it's going down to south.
It's going northeast while we go.
Well, it still is. I mean, we're getting something here in Missouri on the top of it, but it's pushing over. We've got this cold front pushing. Right now, the temperature outside is like fucking 65 degrees, man. It's beautiful.
It's dropping
I'm
here,
so
too.
To
there's supposed to be a cold front.
It's that cold front, bro. Absolutely. That's what it is, that cold front. But yeah, man, wow. Well, at least you're okay, and it went past you. You got through it, so that's cool. But below
they said there wasn't, but there was supposed to. They said that there were no chances of tornadoes or anything like that. And all of a sudden,
yeah,
poof,
well,
one
yeah,
popped
well.
Right out of fucking nowhereville.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well,
they don't know. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
No. Nature can do whatever it wants. There's no fucking discrimination against it. It'll do whatever it fucking wants when it wants to. You know what I mean? So
you ain't gonna tame it, dry it, but you ain't gonna do it.
No. Anyway, I had an appointment today at noon, and they canceled on me. So, and I've been up most of the night. I couldn't sleep for shit. So anyway, I about 11 o'clock, I went to bed. I just got up at 10. Ain't that nice?
Shit.
Slept like a rock. My wife's gone. God damn it. No, I'm good. My nurse can take it. Yeah, but I slept that long. Fuck, that was 12 hours, man. Slept the whole day away. Wow. Oh, but fuck.
I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. I got to go to that, so I got to be cool tonight. I have to go to bed at some fucking decent tower. Well, what a decent hour. It's 11 o'clock at night. Fuck, Ron, what are you talking about, you retarded fucker?
It's already 11.
God, I think I'm more retarded than ever now. I think I'm a Maximus retardus, you know.
Maximus retarded.
Maximus retardus, absolutely. Yeah, what a show last night was. Wasn't it crazy?
Shit, yeah, God, the food, it, wow.
And the deal with McCarthy, what the fuck happened? What I'm totally missing that story. I see he's ousted. I see he's gone. But why?
I'm not sure why either. It happened so damn fast that all of a sudden he was gone. You know? It was kind of weird.
Yeah. I don't know why.
And then on top of that, the one that temporarily has taken over kicked Pelosi out of her goddamn office. Praise the Lord.
Well, that's cool. I'm cool with that. Fuck.
Yeah,
that's good.
Get out of the office. Change the lock. Change the locks on the
goddamn
door. Yeah, she wasn't even there. She's in California moaning over, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West. Wasn't even there.
Fuck. Yeah.
Evicted her.
Well,
ass.
That's not her evicted office, her technically.
Ass.
You
know? Now.
That's
it was
the house's office. Yeah, bitch, don't think you still own this.
No, she was. No, she was. No, wait a minute. She was occupying some private office. It wasn't the Speaker of the House office. It was a different office.
Right.
And then, for whatever reason, kicked her ass out, evicted her. Yeah.
No kidding. Without a warning. Wow.
Yeah, no
kidding.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't even get the chance to get my stuff out. You changed it. Oh, man.
Fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. Fuck you. I hope it's coming around. I hope somebody in this goddamn political world starting to run the fucking show like it needs to be done, man. Because this is getting fucking bullshit. This became total bullshit. You know, come on, man. Fuck.
I got the new deal saying, Pelosi, there's line one, it's a Grim Reaper. Pete Nix.
Oh, I'm surprised the Grim Reaper fucking wants the old bitch around.
Goddamn, that old fucking whore. Goddamn.
Yeah, she's a
man.
She done
been whored. Man.
I wonder how she likes not having that power she used to have once upon a time.
Oh, you know she's crying. You know that. Oh, my
she ain't
God.
Got no
she's
more.
Crying. She ain't no more,
no
bitch.
More.
Ain't no more. No.
You're nobody now. You just get to vote. Nobody
you
cares
like
what
one
you
of our,
say.
One of us peons out there.
Yep, and nobody cared what you said anyway. In reality, anything she did say was bullshit, you know. But anyway, all right, Gunn, I got a clip I want to flip, and since I'm not playing much music at the moment, but anyway, I'm going to flip this clip because it's something, you know, coming up. This is about a car crash. It's already starting on. Matter of fact, the housing market's going to crash, too. It's just, all this shit's going to come crashing quick. I'm telling you, it's fucking getting stupid quick, man. I'm saying before December gets here, it's going to get bad. I'm telling you what, one motherfucker's really going to hurt really bad is going to be the retailers. Their motherfuckers ain't going out buying Christmas shit. I'm telling you. You know? And the other thing that, you know, kind of smokes my ass is we completely forgot about Thanksgiving. I don't see nothing up for Thanksgiving at all. Automatically, Halloween, let's attack the children. And then straight to Christmas. Fuck Thanksgiving. That it seems like it doesn't make enough money to fucking satisfy these motherfuckers. So we'll just cancel that holiday. Fuck it. You see what I mean? So
well,
the children will never know the history of Thanksgiving.
Here's an article. Well, you can look at it while you're playing the clip. There is I think it's in Wyoming. I think it said here. It says a town falls back to diesel fleet after none of its electric buses work.
Well, exactly. You're talking about people that are fucking pushing this fucking narrative of fucking electric and don't have no clue of it.
You know? There it is right there. Fucking hilarious.
I'll check that out. Yeah, that's fucking
bullshit.
You gotta
fall back to diesel.
Ain't that funny?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. How cost effective was that? Stupid motherfucker.
Yeah. Where's that cost effective than that now?
Yeah, it's fucking crazy, but I'll pull that up here in a second. But anyway, all right, man, let me throw this clip up. We'll listen to this and see what happens. All right, here we go.
Did you know that some new car models have already seen prices collapse by 42% this year? That's what a recent Forbes report has exposed. What we're seeing right now in the auto market is a classic narrative of an asset class that went up in price too fast, resulting in a massive bubble. However, even as work stoppages disrupt production at some car plants, dealerships still have an oversupply of vehicles, and demand is simply not there anymore. That's why they're cutting prices faster than at any other period in the past 10 years. New cars, used cars, and electric vehicles are all facing a reckoning right now, signaling that the feared car market crash is finally starting to accelerate. The unprecedented challenges caused by the pandemic, such as factory shutdowns and chip shortages, are behind us by now. Car production is up, and new car inventory has rebounded from supply chain-induced shortages, with popular models having over 90 days of supply at dealer lots. Used car prices fell by 6.6% in the previous month and lost over 20% of their value since mid-2022. Without so many choking points interrupting manufacturing and delivery of vehicles in 2023, the conditions that supported record car price growth in the past few years are no longer in place. On top of that, anxiety over the UAW strikes that forced Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis to temporarily close some plants is waning. A prolonged stoppage could keep fueling the new car bubble in the short term, but that would only cause a bigger price crash when production resumed. In any case, Cox Automotive Research Manager Rebecca Rzuski believes the most scary part of it is over. Now, given the current inventory levels in place, the firm does not expect a short-lived strike to impact consumer prices in any meaningful way, at least in the near term, Rzuski revealed. After a tumultuous last few years in the automotive market, now we are seeing new vehicle pricing trends hold steady, she added. Dealers and automakers are feeling price pressure, and with high auto loan rates and growing inventory levels, new vehicle prices seem to have hit a ceiling. That means balance is finally being restored. And according to the latest data shared by Yahoo Finance, the new and used car market slowdown is rapidly intensifying. For the first time in almost 3 years, inflation rose faster than new car prices, up by 0.6% to 3.7%. You probably remember when the average new car price surpassed the $50,000 mark. That was back in January. In fact, back then, experts expected further gains due to the elevated demand. But it seems that the game has drastically changed. With the average car payment at historic highs, potential buyers are either giving up or postponing the purchase of a new vehicle right now. In fact, a Cox Automotive study has found that the average American needs to allocate a staggering 42 weeks of income to settle the cost of a new car. And that is a significant increase from the pre-pandemic figure of around 33 weeks. Considering the worsening affordability, it is no surprise that demand for new vehicles is disappearing. As of August 31st, last time this type of data was updated, the average transaction price of a new vehicle had dropped by almost $2,000 to $48,165, according to Kelley Blue Book, the Cox Automotive company. That was the largest decrease in the past decade, and analysts say this is just the beginning. The demand is not keeping up with production, which is the opposite story of a year ago, Cox Automotive executive analyst Michelle Krebs explained. We call it the Field of Dreams moment. Automakers are building more, but not enough consumers have come to the field, Krebs stressed. Today, domestic car inventories are almost 30% higher than they were just a couple of years ago when lots only had 60 days of supply available. Ford, GM, and Stellantis, known as the Big Three automakers, are likely to report a tighter supply compared to the rest of the market. But demand for their products is not booming like it used to. In fact, Cox data shows that three vehicle segments had average transaction prices below $30,000 in August. Compact cars, subcompact cars, and subcompact SUVs. All three segments saw month-over-month and year-over-year price declines. Meanwhile, average luxury vehicle prices fell to $64,107, declining by more than 4% since the start of the year. Now, these figures may seem small, but they're actually remarkable, considering that some experts were expecting a 5% gain in the second half of the year. They indicate that new car prices are no longer climbing, but starting their descending journey. The only thing preventing a full-blown crash at this moment is interest rates. They may determine how fast new vehicle prices will drop in the coming months. Different from the timid 10% correction that Wall Street banks such as J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs forecasted earlier this year, some new vehicles have lost almost half of their value already. To truly understand the depth of this crisis, let's look at the dire state of the U.S. electric vehicle market. A new analysis by Car Guru, shared by Forbes, shows that EV prices are dropping like a rock. So far in 2023, the Tesla Model S faced a 42.1% price crash, from $73,751 to just $42,669. Similarly, the Kia EV6 dropped by 32.7%, from $63,939 to $43,035. And the Ford Mustang Mach saw a 32.1% price decline, from $65,176 to just $44,250. Now, these are just a few new car models that experienced price cuts of over 30% over the past 10 months. 2023 is being the most devastating year for electric cars in terms of falling prices. Battery vehicles aren't being able to maintain their value after the frenzy that turned EVs into precious commodities. Cox reported that the average transaction price for a new electric vehicle is down 20% already, from $66,390 to $53,438. It's important to remember that a year ago, demand for these cars was so high that prices hit a peak of almost $75,000. Now, electric vehicles are sitting at lots for longer than ever before. A year ago, the average EV price was above the average luxury vehicle price. Today, as inventory and availability build, EV prices are moving closer to the industry average, Cox noted. The turmoil in the U.S. auto industry began in the first quarter when Tesla decided to slash prices by $13,000 in an attempt to increase car sales. Other automakers were facing the same issues, and that sparked a wave of EV price cuts unlike anything we've ever seen. Ford followed suit, offering savings of between $6,079 and $9,979 on seven of its F-150 Lightning models. At one point in the second quarter, Volkswagen admitted that EV sales had fallen to zero. Executives said that despite a clear fall in orders for combustion models, the performance of its EV segment was way more disappointing than they expected. A Volkswagen spokesperson pointed to consumers' general reluctance to buy electric cars. Not even deep discounts on used EVs attracted buyers back. The last 12 months have seen second-hand electric vehicle values plunge due to an oversupply of used examples entering the market. Now that we're about a year in from that, not only have we started to see used vehicle prices come down, we've seen massive depreciations and used vehicle prices, said Kevin Roberts, Director of Insights and Analytics for Car Gurus. Then you add in things like Tesla and Ford coming out with these price drops on their new variants as well. It's really pulling down the prices on the used vehicles there. I mean, it's pretty wild. Just as with any other bubble fueled by speculation, when demand hits a wall, cracks start to appear. The EV bubble has burst sooner than people imagined due to one simple reason. EVs are the cars of the future, not the present. They are simply not practical. They are not fit for purpose, particularly for long-range driving. And many drivers who bought EVs in the past couple of years have already come to that conclusion. That's why they're eager to sell their cars, even if that means that will end up losing a great deal of money. Americans need and want convenience, and they're realizing that electric vehicles are not just more costly, but also require more maintenance than combustion vehicles. The administration is pushing to aggressively boost EV sales and transition the country to clean energy. The White House has set a goal that up to half of all new vehicle sales be electric by 2030 in order to slash emissions and mitigate climate change. But regardless of attractive tax credits available to owners of new and used electric vehicles, Americans do not seem too convinced about the benefits of owning an EV. A new poll by the Energy Policy Institute at the University of Chicago found that nearly half of Americans, or 47%, say it's unlikely they would purchase an electric vehicle as their next car, citing the lack of charging options and the high costs as the main barriers to going electric. On the same note, GoBanking Rates reported that less than 10% of car buyers bought an electric vehicle in the past year. These models are pricier because their main component, lithium-ion batteries, are costly to produce. Since 2020, lithium prices have grown astronomically, and other types of batteries, such as solid-state, are still passing through trials before being introduced in the market. For now, if you have to replace your electric car's battery, it'll cost thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. Charging infrastructure is not reliable. Although the federal government invested $7.5 billion in EV charging, as detailed in President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure deal, it is still a challenge to find an available, functioning charging location in the United States. Of 56,256 charging stations identified by the Alternative Fuels Data Center, over 4,000 were temporarily unavailable because they were undergoing some form of maintenance, USA Facts reported. Moreover, stations are unequally distributed. The vast majority are located in California, which had 15,706, followed by New York, Florida, and Texas. Alaska, on the other hand, had just 58 charging stations. The decline of the EV market is coming after buyers rushed to purchase the hottest new vehicles without fully understanding how that was going to work in the long run. Just as for gas combustion models, demand outpaced supply and depleted inventories, leading to even more fear of missing out. But now that EV owners are facing disappointment, would-be U.S. car buyers are being priced out, those precious commodities are not looking so precious anymore. In the coming months, you should prepare to see even more inventory at dealerships and even deeper price cuts. As a consumer, you should stay informed with news to make clever decisions when purchasing a new car. Now, we're still in the calm before the storm. It is time to wait. Conditions are combining to spark the biggest car market crash of our lifetime. And we can't miss that opportunity when it finally happens. Thank you for watching.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. Funny. I believe, because I knew it was going to happen anyway. I was way ahead of this. Like, ain't no fucking way, man. It just ain't there yet. You know, but I, like I said before, I love the concept of electric vehicles. I do. But there's a better way.
Oh, yeah.
There's a much better fucking way. And you know what? Us people with minds like you, Gunslinger, and me, we know there's a way to fucking make this happen. There is.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know? And, you know, I'm not
well,
trying to, you know,
the,
I can say I can hold this idea in my fucking head and never share it with another fucking soul. You know what I mean? And, of course, motherfuckers say I'm crazy and on my mind. But here's my fucking problem with this whole fucking ordeal. All right, check this out. So, answer the phone.
Weather radar. Other weather.
What's
the
name?
Spring.
What's it tell you?
Nah, just severe thunderstorm.
I was reading your weather service. What the fuck? Okay. Fucking rent it, Robbie. Thanks, Gunslinger. What a friend you are. But anyway, my point of making, okay, to make it understandable, I know we don't have a bunch of people on here and nothing like that, but this is going to be archived and you can listen to it later, whoever the fuck you are. But here's the deal. You can make an electric bike that can pull a fucking 400-pound fat fucking hillbilly. All right? 400, 500 pounds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Them electric carts in the fucking grocery stores. Okay? But you got to plug them with a charger, and I understand that. But here's my fucking deal. The fact that these are motors and can, in reverse polarity, produce electric, right? Don't they? Regular electric motor can make, produce electric on its own. Right. Okay.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Why is it you could not put a dual system in the car to where all four wheels has the same similar type of motor like a bike has, you know, on the hub, and it can charge the batteries as it's fucking rotating? Or some type of assembly in between the fucking drive tire in the front that rotates. They fucking rotate. So if it's rotating, it can be self-charging. You know, like perpetual motion. You know, people believe perpetual motion. What the fuck do you mean? Because I bitched about the Gunslinger. I'm going to tell you, 30, 40 fucking years I bitched this about this, and I have shown it on a lab table. You can take a fucking electric motor and power a fucking engine. Forever.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Forever. Yeah.
You know, you'd never have any no source of power but its own. Until, of course, the part breaks or fucking fucks up. Yeah. Well, that's just a natural thing. But you wouldn't need the battery capacity that these motherfuckers need to fucking achieve that. But why not? Why is this not done? And that's why I'm putting on the air tonight. I don't care. You know, some motherfucker gets rich off of fucking, I don't care. But anyway, I said today on fucking the 10th month, 10-4-2023, I stated this. So if it does come up, some fucker gets rich off my shit, me and Gunslinger deserve a piece of the fucking action. Because I announced
we deserve it.
An electric
motor
on a rotating tire to charge a battery system, which we have two battery banks, which are switchable. Once it runs up, like the same setup like I got, okay? If one is full, then it switches over. It switches to that one. And the one that's been depleted, the charging system is charging that one up to 100% capacity. Then when the other one gets below capacity, it switches over that one that's full. Then the charging system switches over the other one. See what I mean? There is no way it's not impossible.
I am sure
it's simple fucking
that somebody...
math. It's simple math. It's so easy. It's like the flow of water.
Simple physics.
It's like the flow of water.
It's simple.
Right. We call them switches, but valves and things. You know, I look at electricity as the same as water flow. To really get people to understand the variation of it. You know, even though electricity is dangerous, so is water, kind of, but not compared to electricity. That's really a fucking
thing. Water, too.
There.
You can drown in water, too.
Exactly.
But it's simple.
Electric's quicker.
Well, electric quicker, you think electric is quicker. But like I said, you know, it's simple electric physics. I'm sure somebody has, okay? It's not that hard.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Millions of people that can think like this. Why the fuck would they not think of that?
But you know why? Because when they start to come up and try to just say, hey, look what I just found. Fucking power company and the gas company and the oil company buys them out or shuts them up.
Right.
What about that guy that invented? What about that guy back in the '50s that invented that carburetor that could run 100 miles on a gallon of gasoline?
Yeah, he was boiling a coffee pot. He did that with a coffee pot, man.
Yeah.
There was a Wildcat or some shit he was driving. He drove that motherfucker like 300 miles on a gallon of gas.
Yeah. So why don't we have that now?
Why not? Exactly.
Yeah, see, same.
wouldn't it be? Why do you want to keep wasting this shit? Because all for the love of money.
It's the love of money.
I'm telling you. We the people are fucking stupid. We are dumb fuckers. We'll take whatever they put to it. Yeah, whatever they stick in your face.
Well, you know. You know the physics and everything, and I know the physics too. You can run, you can move a freight train with a clock motor if it's geared right.
Exactly.
Okay. That's possible. They've figured the gear ratio. You know gear ratio and all that shit.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
You can literally
move
move a freight train with a clock motor.
It's also hydraulics. But a lot of people think hydraulics, you got to have fluid and a pump. I said, no. Hydraulics come in a whole different fucking manner. You know, the hydraulics, like we exist on hydraulics. We live. We have to wipe our ass, take a piss, you know, eat and sleep, little things. You know, it takes hydraulics for every joint to move. Everything's moving. Your arms are just like a bucket on a tractor. You know what I mean?
These muscles,
these are called muscles that do ours. It's still same. It's kind of similar same. But force and pressure and liquid, blah, 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 blah. Hydraulics, I get that. But the thing is, you know, there's a guy that invented a car that ran off water. The guy we're talking about before is dead. They found him in a desert all fucking drugged up and fucking dead. The guy that did the boiler, the gas boiler. Yeah, they found him out in the desert dead. This motherfucker never touched drugs a day in his fucking life. So you don't think big money had to get rid of that motherfucker? But the story's out now. Everybody knows about it, but nobody does nothing about it. It's because of fear. Exactly.
Hell, I see.
Yeah,
so I'm the mechanic
back to you. Right. But I think we're self-fucking ourselves. I'm serious, man.
Oh, well.
I mean, this is 2023, bro.
I knew a mechanic back years ago. He did some work on some of our trucks and everything, and I was up there at his house one time, and he's working on his car and everything. And he said, you know, that thing's running on water. I said, what? Water.
Uh-huh.
He said, see that tank right there? Open it up, smell it. It's water. It went right into the refrigerator.
Yeah.
So you don't think it can't be running on water? H2O?
Exactly. And I can't burn any cleaner than that.
Goddamn, I've never seen it.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
No,
well,
how much for a cleaner burn it?
I've seen water coming out of
what
fucking,
if you put it?
Well, like natural gas, okay? But I've seen water coming out of a fucking kitchen sink, man, on fire. Lit. You could light it. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be a flamethrower or nothing like that, but it flash, you know? But still, hey, what do you mean? It's crazy, Gunslinger. It's just the whole fucking system so out of the
I think that thing is that they were near natural gas wells, and the natural gas has somehow dissolved into the water.
Yeah, just got mixed
in
the
water.
So it could be done. Yeah, you figure
all
natural
you're
gas is
water
pissing into a fucking water bed that's coming up. You know, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah. All you're doing is blowing water out the tailpipe. Hell, the environmentalists ought to love that.
Right. Well, you know, the dude with the boiler, the car only runs off the vapor. It doesn't run off the liquid content of gasoline. You know what I mean?
Well, no, even an engine today don't run off the liquid. It just runs off the vapor.
They all run off. Any combustion engine runs off of vapor.
The vapor, vapor.
Right.
Yeah.
Even diesel. Diesel, same thing. You know?
Diesel vapor.
It's just more thicker, you know, bigger setup. But anyway,
now,
but, course, yeah, I mean.
Well, I was going to say that now, of course, I'm not an auto.
Right.
Well, I was just going to say that now, of course, I'm not an auto mechanic. But I did run into a situation when I was doing my fireworks stand, because we had a big old Army generator out there that ran on that propane. The guy that had it, he was all into propane engines and all that shit. He said, as long as you don't exceed a certain wattage on your generator, you can run the gas. But if you exceed a certain kilowatt or whatever, you have to switch to the liquid. And the tank had two valves on it. You could liquid, or you can do the vapor.
Right, right. So, I got a generator like that, too.
Yeah,
propane.
You know.
The difference in this generator, when I'm using propane in it, All right, this motherfucker, it's loud as a motherfucker. And when I put gas in it, it's not as loud. I should have took a decimal meter out there and checked it, but I didn't. I haven't done that, but I need to remember to do that. But that, yeah, but I mean, you can tell it. You can tell the sound. Well, I mean, fuck, I'm a musician. Of course, I can tell different sounds, but, but you can tell it. It's a lot louder with propane. But propane doesn't have gasoline's got. It doesn't have to get up and go like that. You know what I'm saying? You just ain't got it.
Well, I think that's why you have to switch it over. I think that's why you have to switch it over to the liquid. If you don't have that octane, obviously the propane don't have the octane in it.
Well, don't
that's
have
probably
the
why you have to switch.
Right. It ain't got.
Yeah,
to
you have to switch
it
over
animal.
To the liquid part. If it gets exceeds certain whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
That's on that one.
Right. Well, you're talking about your blast and to your push. You know, blast push, blast push. You know, but anyway,
they run tractors off of them. We had a tractor over there that had that ran on propane.
Oh yeah, most forklifts ran on propane.
Yeah, forklifts. Yeah, you see the forklifts on propane.
But you got to remember that propane motor that it's operating with is fucking only running fucking hydraulic pumps. It don't actually have no drive, just through the pumps. That's it. The pumps do everything else. The drive, the steering up and down, picking up shit. That's all the hydraulic pumps and the forklift does all that. So,
but this tractor he had like three big old John Deere's out there. The goddamn wheel was fuck 6 feet tall on these son bitches. It's big motherfuckers. And they only had like one cylinder in it. And he ran that thing off propane. That motherfucker can pull a brick shit out, let me tell you. God,
because it's run off hydraulics. It's just run hydraulic pump. That's all it's doing. That's the same thing like a fucking train engine.
No, this is direct drive. This is not hydraulics. This is one of the old 1940 John Deere's. Them big bastards had one cylinder in that motherfucker, and that sumbitch sounded like a fucking train when he started that sumbitch up. Had the big old wheel on the side that would rotate.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the big whatever model they were. And there was no hydraulics. It was a direct drive off that sumbitch. He pulled plows over there and plowed the whole goddamn field with that damn thing.
Huh. Yeah.
Greatest thing I've ever seen.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I mean, I'm not denying it. Right. I'm not denying it because you never know, man. Because, the engineering shit they built back in the day, too. There's a lot of shit that was done that's never came out because of the fucking value of the dollar. Bullshit.
I got some pictures of that tractor. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
It's a
big
motherfucker. PTO.
Was it a steam engine?
No, it was one cylinder.
Fuck, I'm high.
Propane, one cylinder. High. It had one cylinder. Right. He said the fucking cylinder in there was, or the piston, he said it was as big as a 5 gallon bucket in there.
No, one piston.
And you hear that go, whoosh, 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 whoosh.
Right.
I mean, it's fucking crazy. Wow.
Huh.
And he converted it to fucking from gasoline to propane with a propane carburetor on it. I still remember that motherfucker. Yep. I'll send you a picture of that motherfucker. That son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Not running, but I see it's still sitting there in the yard or the backyard back there. Yeah. And I tell you, that tractor, goddamn, that thing must weigh 10,000 pounds. One of them big batters, solid iron. I mean, solid iron fucking tractor. It's one of the earlier John Deere's that they built.
Okay. Did you see my post about a day ago when I posted about it's a gray Jeep? And it's got a sticker on the back window that says, "My owner beats me."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got that shit.
Remember that one? Yeah. Okay. You know, it's just for a joke. Yeah, my neighbor sent me a response back and said, "Gross." Oh, God. She's a crazy old broad. Gross, but you fucking like it. You know?
No, I am.
Yeah, I don't fucking... I think it's funny, though. I'm not even going to respond to it. Yeah, God.
Jesus,
okay. I sent a link to that laundromat on Facebook. Well, I just posted it about that. About that grocery store catching on fire.
Right.
You'll see how fucking stupid people are. Well, they've always put it there years ago. Every year they roll, they always put the hay right there. You know, always did. Keep it out of the weather, I guess. You know, kind of like cover. So I don't think it did much damage. I can't tell. It don't look like too much damage. That bitch was going at it, though. That fucking fire was fucking rocking. So.
Ooh, yeah, here it is right here. Oh yeah, I'll send you these pictures right now.
Okay,
there's one, two, three, four, five, six of them. I think it's a Model D John Deere. Whichever
okay.
one it was, it was one of them big bastards. Right. Let me tell you. Let's see here. Yeah, compose it and go back and find the file. Fucking computers.
Rick.
Let's see. Where is this motherfucker? Mm-hmm. Attach files. Attach files. Get in there in a minute. Oh, put a box in there. See. Tractor picture. Tractor paper. Yep. Tractor picture zip. You have to unzip it with sending it in a zip file.
Okay.
I just use what they call 7-zip.
Right.
And like it loaded and send it. Yes. That's it.
Okay, Linda just sent something to the core group.
When you get the pictures, there's two of them sitting there. They're both identical, but the one by
Did
the
you
tree.
Did you send it to Facebook?
No, send it to your email.
Okay. Okay, I have to go to that. Okay.
But the greenish one's sitting by the tree. It ran. I used to drive it on a regular on a land back there. I used to drive that thing. We had a big old breaking plow that we used to break the fucking when Daddy used to plow up to the shit for bale hay and shit down there.
Holy shit! Hang on, I gotta send this to you.
Yeah.
I gotta send you this, man. You gotta see this. This is coming up to an auction. Let me see.
But I'm not sure what that big old wheel.
Put it in your barn grill. Pier
oh, yeah.
Which one should I put?
Yes. Yes.
Barn grill.
Yeah, barn grill.
Oh. Yeah, check.
But
this
I'm not sure what
out.
that big old wheel does, unless it's that's not the flywheel. The starter.
No, there's a belt.
That,
there's a belt that goes onto that for like a thrasher or shit like that. You know, different shit like attachments. You know what I mean? It's a belt drive. That big round thing on the outside of the tractor.
A big old round thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Just to put a belt on it.
That's for a belt?
Yeah,
well,
for
it's
a belt.
Be a very
yeah.
wide belt. No, wait a minute. I remember.
Yeah.
Because this one had the teeth on it, and the starter engaged it.
Okay.
The starter engaged that big old wheel.
That'd be the starter. Right. That'd be the starter then. But no, most of them big wheels like that, they're usually big and wide. They put a belt on those to run some type of implement, you know?
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, I've seen those.
Right.
But this one here had the electric starter, had a 6-volt starter up there on top.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing would engage that wheel. What is that, a flywheel? It can't be a flywheel. I'm not a tractor mechanic.
Right.
But when that thing's running, that thing is spinning. You know?
That thumb bitch takes about 2 acres to turn that thumb bitch around with a big old wide wheelbase like that.
Fuck.
That's a monster, let me tell you. Maybe it shows. Maybe it shows. It shows a close up. Not that one.
Anyway, did you see that I sent to you in Messenger?
I haven't. I'll look at it in just a second.
Yeah, you need to scope that out. That's come up in auction tomorrow. Tomorrow. Yeah, because it's still today. It's 11:50 right now, but it's going to be at auction tonight. Or coming up, tonight. Not today, but tonight. Today. Yeah, today. Fuck it.
Wait, if you look on that, on the picture of the green one, it's got that big old rotating thing on the, if you look at it at the front, it's the left side. And it's got a big old shoe on the thing. It's like a brake. I'm not sure. I don't remember what that did. It's got a big wheel looking thing. Big old wide sumbitch. Looks like the thing's about at least a foot wide. And it's got a big old brake shoe on it. And I don't remember what that did. I know what the other side did. Obviously it's connected to the other side. I guess that's the piston is connected inside the motor. But I don't know. A belt? I don't think you'd. A belt wouldn't fit on there because it would hit the air intake and the front wheel. Well, it'd take the wheel off. You got me. I don't remember what he said that was for.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm not a tractor expert, so.
Yeah, I'm looking at these two here. Yeah,
you got that big old thin one.
I don't know, bro. But it's maybe it was a belt drive or something. You know, you had to look at
the and look on the other side. Look on the other side. It's got that big old round.
You know, let me
pull
them
up. And it's got looks like a brake shoe on it. And I don't ever remember a belt being on there. I'm not sure what that does. I'm not a tractor expert. I'm not a John Deere tractor.
I'm not either.
Maybe I called John Deere and sent him the picture and say, what the fuck is that thing?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I can only open them one at a time. Now, this bigger one, this green one with yellow wheels.
Yeah.
On a thing on
that's
side,
the one
that's
that ran.
That don't rotate. That's something else, man.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. That big old thing
don't
rotates.
I see a brace connected to it. It can't.
It's a brake shoe. It's some type of brake shoe.
Oh, is it?
I think so. Because that thing rotates, so it has to be connected. Yeah, the thing has to be connected to a shaft inside.
Oh, I see.
That other thing.
I see. Right.
And a single piston. It's one piston is connected to that thing.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know. That's cool though. All right. So I ain't losing my fucking mind.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
I'd have to send it to John Deere and said, "What is this thing? What is it? What was it used for?"
Yeah, what was the tractor alone? What kind of tractor is that? You know, what kind? You know,
it's
what,
a John
what
Deere.
Are they? Well, I got that, but what model is it?
I think it was somewhere on it was a Model D. Model D.
Yeah, you have to.
But it has to be the 40s or early 50s.
Right. Well, anyway, this, I think I got it from you a minute ago, was on these electric compound backs and diesel fleet after none of its electric buses work.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking neat, you know. You know, it's pretty fucked up. I'm going to read a little bit of it, okay? All right. Tales of electric vehicle failures grow more numerously by the day. And they do, yeah. Okay. According to the Cowboy State Daily, a Wyoming-based news organization, Wyoming-Tenon County, in the town of Jackson purchased 8 electric buses, all of which have broken down and will no longer run. See, first you got to find a mechanic to work on the motherfuckers. You're going to buy some shit like that. You know, what are you going to do with it? Okay. And the electric buses failure has forced Jackson and Tennant counties to rely on an existing fleet of 31 diesel buses. Of course, of all such a green mishap originate in traumatic liberalism. For instance, the Southern Tennant Area Rapid Transit Start System relied on support from its supplier of a California-based electric bus manufacturer, Proterra. North Dakota Republican killed plane crash. North Dakota Republican killed a plane crash along with his wife and 2 kids. Okay. All right. In 2021, Congress appropriated more than $5.5 billion for eco-friendly buses under the bipartisan infrastructure bill. At the time, President Joe Biden conducted a virtual tour of the tech-supported Proterra. The fact is, you're making me look good, Biden said at the time. In August, Proterra filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Proterra CEO Garth Joyce whatever the company's failure to the various market and microeconomics headwinds have been impacted ability and effect to scale all opportunities substantially. So they fucked yourself completely. In other words, Congress and Biden wasted more money on green energy. The failure of their tax support electric bus manufacturer should elicit no sympathy for public officials in Wyoming, and felt that those same officials created a mess by attempting to maneuver their own citizens on independence on green energy. According to Jackson residents, a former Tennant County Commissioner, Member Paul Vogelheim, some area residents have long waited to upgrade the county roads, but the roads receive no upgrades. Instead, as the Cowboy State Daily described it, the majority want to drive and maintain inconvenience hope people ride more like bikes and public transportation. The majority of the residents would drive to remain inconvenient. So in other words, people say, fuck you, no, we don't need this shit. We don't care. We'll do what we do. That's that. Fuck you. So that's the way it should
be.
Fuck you. Exactly. I'm free, motherfucker. And I got backup, son of a bitch. Don't be fucking with me. You know?
I got
In related news, according to the Wyoming Public Media, Tennant County ranks first in the nation per household wealth. Based on the 2019 IRS info, Tennant County households average is $312,442 in adjusted gross income. Of course they did. After all, only affluent liberals would tour the deliberate inconvenience of their neighbors as a moral virtue. Affluent and fluent. It's after all, only affluent liberals would. Okay. Boy, this paper really likes them, don't they? Liberals. In 2020, former President Donald Trump won all but 2 of Wyoming's 23 counties in a route of winning the state more than 70% of the total vote. Meanwhile, Clinton County resident voted Biden at the margin of 16%. The traumatic liberalism Sunday has room for one large cherry. Jackson County Attorney County Electoralists did not arrive damaged for a while. They operate as part of the regular fleet. Atlas, we suffered. The Cowboy State called declaration performance during the winter months. Yeah, them buses won't run where the fuck in the cold. That's nothing they found out. Says Wyoming liberals have experience with cold weather. Electric buses failures have they live in extreme cold weather. They do. Some batteries can't take that cold. You know, they like the winter time your car can't start because the battery's too cold. Well, there you go. Yeah, your chemical compounds broke down inside your battery. That's what it is. You know, it can't do it because you got water. So, but what can you say? But anyway, Gunslinger, I did find clip here about McCarthy getting his ass kicked out. So I want to play that and see why that fucker got kicked out of there. Let's go.
Welcome to the NewsHour. For the first time in this nation's history, the House of Representatives has formally ousted its speaker. A handful of hard-right Republicans and every Democrat voted together to remove the gavel from Speaker Kevin McCarthy's hand. Lawmakers from both parties spoke on the House floor ahead of the final vote.
Chaos is Speaker McCarthy. Chaos is somebody who we cannot trust with their word. The one thing that the White House, House Democrats, and many of us on the conservative side of the Republican caucus would argue is that the thing we have in common, Kevin McCarthy said something to all of us at one point or another that he didn't really mean and never intended to live up to. This body is entrenched in a suboptimal path and refuses to leave it. Refuses to leave that path. You cannot change if you're unwilling to change. We had every opportunity to change. We were promised change.
With the Democrats driving the fiscal bus off the cliff at 100 miles an hour, we cannot simply be content to be the party that slows it down to 95 just so we can sit in the front seat and wear the captain's hat. Our current debt and our spending trajectory is unsustainable. We need a speaker, ideally somebody who doesn't want to be speaker and hasn't pursued that at all costs for his entire adult life, who will meet the moment and do everything possible to fight for the country.
We're proud of the leadership he's shown. We're proud of the manner in which he's been willing to work with everybody in our conference and, I believe, in this chamber. There's a second group, small group. They're willing to plunge this body into chaos and this country into uncertainty for reasons that only they really understand.
I can tell you this motion to vacate is a terrible idea. As the only member who's serving here who took every chance to vote against Speaker Boehner and to vote against Speaker Ryan, I can tell you that this chamber has been run better.
It's been messy. It's been raucous. And at times it's been chaotic. And God bless every minute of it, because democracy is supposed to be hard. And because the alternative is a closed-door process where 2,000-page bills come out of the Speaker's office at midnight and are forced to the floor the next morning.
Today's move came 9 months to the day since McCarthy lost his first vote to become Speaker. It ultimately took 14 more ballots for him to assume the role. Congressional correspondent Lisa Desjardins has been watching all of this unfold on Capitol Hill. So, Lisa, take us through this vote and tell us, what is the status of the House of Representatives right now without a House Speaker?
California Congressman Kevin McCarthy, as he is now being known, his long run, basically, of political gymnastics, aerial feats to try and survive in his own caucus day by day, that has ended tonight as the House voted on that 216-210 vote to oust him. The motion is an old one. It's only ever come up for a vote once before in our nation's history. It failed that time. But the idea is that the House declared that the speakership itself was vacant. Now, how this happened came down to two things, essentially, Jeff, the math and also the people involved, the small group determined to get rid of McCarthy. Let's look at who we're talking about. Eight Republicans united together to oust him. Those eight, if you look at their faces, are mainly conservatives, with one exception there on the bottom row, Nancy Mace. She's known as a moderate. She's in a swing district. She's a vulnerable Republican. I spoke with her after this just on the steps a short while ago. Why did she do this? What did she think about the risk she is taking by putting the House in limbo as it stands now? And she said, I feel like the House was in chaos with Kevin McCarthy. He broke his promises. She said he did not come through for women, for other things. Another person on that list, Tim Burchett, he told me that he voted no McCarthy for a number of reasons, including a matter of character, that just in the last day, McCarthy made fun of his religion, his call for prayer. So this was personal as well as political for everyone on that list.
And Lisa, it's fair to say it had been a tumultuous 9 months for Kevin McCarthy in the role of House Speaker. What is driving the apparent dysfunction within the House Republican Conference?
You know, as I said, the math is an issue. It's just a slim five-vote majority that the Republicans have. But that said, others, Democrats, have been able to govern with that. I really thought about what is underneath this. So let's look at the list. First of all, as you heard in the tape from today, spending. That is driving a lot of these conservatives. They feel like Kevin McCarthy has not gone far enough to cut spending. But also underneath all of this, Jeff, is a clear distrust of Kevin McCarthy. His relationships, his lack of relationships is really hurting him right now. But in addition to that, there's some other factors. One of those, when you think about it, is a push for partisanship. Some of those who wanted him out think that Kevin McCarthy should not have tried to work with Democrats to keep government open. That's a factor in our government beyond Kevin McCarthy, and he's being punished for it right now. The last thing I'll say is President Trump, who himself did call for a government shutdown, he has been someone who has really injected into the Republican Party the idea that not only is disruption safe, but it is good. He has encouraged conservatives like this to try and challenge institutions, including the head of the institution of the House of Representatives itself. One other thing, Democrats, they had the option of saving Speaker McCarthy today, but also it comes down to relationships. They said that he has attacked them, lied about them. They came out of their meeting this morning, Jeff, very hot, saying, no way are we going to save him.
You mentioned relationships, Lisa. There is no obvious successor, someone that can unite the fractious Republican Party, this House Republican Conference. What comes next? The country is headed toward yet another government funding deadline on November 17th. What's this all mean for that?
There's a lot to talk about here. First, as I talk to you right now, the House does not have a permanent Speaker of the House for the first time in our history, but it does have an acting Speaker of the House. That is Patrick McHenry, a McCarthy ally. There is a little known statute that came into place after September 11th in which Speakers of the House must submit a list to the clerk, it's kept secret, of who they would like to succeed them in case something happens to them. Patrick McHenry is the number one name on that list. He is technically the acting speaker right now. I'm told he is not in the line of presidential succession. So what we have here basically, Jeff, is a question mark. How long will it take to get a speaker? I'm told that McCarthy would like to run for speaker again. So I think our viewers can imagine what we may be in for, a series of votes like we had in January, potentially, where McCarthy tries to convince some of those people who voted against him today to vote present, allow him somehow to win. I'll tell you, that's a long shot for him. And you hit it right on the head, Jeff. This is all a huge risk for so many parts of government, especially 45 days. This does increase the risk exponentially of a shutdown, but also it's a problem for Ukraine, for the money that Ukraine is waiting to get, hoping to get as it fights its war with Russia. That's a problem then for Taiwan. So the kind of domino effects of this situation are massive. And I think we were going to be obviously following this, talking about this a lot. So many things, impeachment is something rare, but we have never seen a vote like this in U.S. history.
Absolutely. Lisa Desjardins reporting from Capitol Hill tonight on the historic House vote that resulted in the ouster of Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker. Lisa, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So we know we got kicked out, but I got to play this motherfucker here. This ought to be fun and entertaining. Here we go.
What's up, everybody? How's it going? What a day. We're going live. Thank you all so much. Today's been such a crazy day. Hello, hello, hello. Pretty wild, historic day for the country, for the U.S. House of Representatives. I figured I would hop on. I want to answer some of your questions. And also explain a little bit about what happened today. So the United States of America currently does not have a Speaker of the House. This is the first time in American history that a Speaker has been deposed, vacated, kicked out, whatever you want to call it. But that happened today, and it was quite shocking. It was very dramatic. And one of the first questions here is, can someone explain this to me like I'm 5 years old? Happy to. So in order to become speaker, when you're first elected, you have to win a majority of the House of Representatives. A majority of representatives have to elect you as speaker. Now, usually what happens is that one party wins the election, and you get a majority in the House. And depending on how large that majority is, the people in that party, you know, if Republicans win the election, Republicans select their speaker. If Democrats win the election, Democrats win their speaker. Now, in the last two Congresses, we have had historically small margins. So the Republicans have the majority by 2, 3, 4, only 5 votes out of 435. Democrats similarly had a similar margin as well, very, very narrow. And so the more narrow your margin is, the more you need your entire party to come together to select that speaker or really to get anything done. That's why earlier this year, we saw all those memes, all those jokes, you know, whatever, about Kevin McCarthy and this long saga to become Speaker of the House, because Republicans had the smallest majority, smallest margin, about 5. You know, it's give or take, because sometimes there's a resignation or a vacancy or a death, but it's roughly 5, and sometimes even smaller. And so they basically needed everybody, and they could only lose less than 5 votes. Sometimes when House Democrats have a very large majority, if you have a majority that's up by 35, you can lose 20 votes. But in slim majorities, everyone in your party basically needs to vote the same way in order for your party to secure the
15 years ago that kids in your, say, daughter's 9th grade class would be coming to school in drag and would be affirmed in that by their teachers and the broader community, you would say there's no chance that could happen in this country. And of course, it has happened, and it's now happening at scale. Transgenderism is not just a fad, it's a fact of life across this country, not just the elites, but in small towns, everywhere. And so the question is, how did something this unnatural and prima facie demented happen so quickly? Well, of course, there's got to be money involved. Interestingly, no one that we're aware of has taken a close forensic look at where the money's coming from and where it's going. And that's why we're so delighted to see research done by our next guest, Chris Moritz, who's a longtime investment banker and policy guy, has done on this question. Transgenderism. It didn't happen by accident. Some people are profiting from it. And with that, we introduce our guest who joins us here on set. Thank you.
Thank you, Tucker. It's beyond pleasure to be here.
Well, we're grateful to have you. And there's been a lot of complaining about this. It's clearly a destructive trend that's hurting people, particularly children, destabilizing society. And it doesn't make any sense. Mm. So it's making all of us irrational. But for some reason, nobody has taken the time to figure out who's profiting from this. And you've done what I think is a spectacular dive into this, an amazing overview of the economics of transgenderism. So with that, I'll just kind of back off and let you describe what you found.
Well, I think there's so many elements to this issue.
Yes.
Philosophical, religious even.
Yes.
Religious sociological.
Especially.
Of course.
Yeah.
But the economics of it, what I call Transgender Inc., is something that has gotten very, very little attention, and it deserves to be highlighted in very visible way.
Yeah.
Because this is a market that in 2018, this market is made up of sex reassignment surgeries and hormone replacement therapies, which include a number of different pharmaceutical products. But the combined value sales of sex reassignment surgeries and the pharmaceutical products in 2018 was $2.94 billion. By 2022, that figure had rose to $4.18 billion. And by 2030, our analysis indicates that would increase to $7.5 billion, which represents an 8.5% compound annual growth rate, which is relatively significant within, you know, a healthcare vertical.
Well, it's bigger than the entire healthcare budgets of some African countries.
For sure.
It's a lot of money.
Well, considering also that the population of patients is about 1 million people, there's 1.6 million transgender adults, or I should say over the age of 13, transgender individuals in the United States.
as of 2022. Now, that number has doubled in 10 years. So in 2011, there were 700,000 transgender Americans over the age of 13. And by 2022, that had risen to 1.6 million. Now, and so you just ended the debate over whether this is something a person is born with.
Well, I think that there is absolutely zero scientific evidence that would suggest that there is a gene, chemical alteration, any kind of somatic, physical, biological element to transgenderism that would result in what has become known as gender dysphoria. And in fact, if we get deeper into the medical research, we find that there are no clinical studies, none, on the long-term efficacy, consequences, and in many cases, debilitating life-term effects of these procedures and pharmaceutical products, especially on children.
But there are no studies?
There are none. In fact, the FDA has not approved a single pharmaceutical product used in gender transition, specifically for gender transition. So testosterone, estrogen, and what are called GnRH agonists or puberty blockers are all prescribed off-label. So they do not have specific FDA approval for gender transition because this is such a new field of medicine. Many of these drugs, especially these GnRH agonists or puberty blockers, have been traditionally prescribed for cancer patients.
Right.
And
prostate cancer, famously.
Exactly. So there's a drug called Lupron developed by AbbVie Pharmaceuticals. And this has gotten a lot of controversy and a lot of attention because in Texas, Ken Paxton has actually brought suit against AbbVie and another pharmaceutical company that makes puberty blockers called Endo Pharmaceuticals, based on the fact that they are advertising to children these drugs off-label.
For a non-FDA approved use.
Correct.
So testosterone feeds prostate tumors.
Yes.
So if you are diagnosed with prostate cancer, one of the therapies might be to lower your testosterone, correct?
Correct.
That's what this drug is used
for. That's right.
It's now being prescribed at scale to kids.
Yeah.
And there's no study suggesting the outcomes long-term?
None. No peer reviews.
Can you think of any, is there any other part of air quotes medicine where over a million people are being prescribed a course of quote therapy where we don't know the outcome?
Yeah, I think there is an analogy that can be made. As a millennial growing up in the 90s, what was a big trend at that time for that cohort? ADHD.
Yeah.
Everyone was put on Adderall at a young age because, you know, school teachers identified hyperactive kids, and the process of going from, being identified as, you know, maybe a little different or whatever at the school level, and then getting elevated to guidance counselors, then to psychologists, then to clinicians. And before you know it, you're prescribed, you know, a very powerful pharmaceutical drug. And I think something very similar.
An addictive drug that'll give you brain damage.
For sure. And I'll tell you, the drugs that are being administered for transgender patients, especially these puberty blockers, are far, far more dire.
Can we back up for one second? So, and I remember that very well. I had kids in school at the time.
Hmm.
The ADHD thing happened. And I always thought it was a cope for, you know, boring teachers teaching pointless material. And when kids got jumpy, they're like, you need drugs.
Right.
But I always assumed there was some sort of longitudinal research on the effects of this. And there was.
Well, at the time, you know, at that time, it was still kind of a novel therapy, and really gained, you know, enormous amount of traction in the 90s. And I think what we're seeing...
But they had no data to show that this would improve long-term outcomes.
I can't say whether there were peer-reviewed studies at the time. I believe that you know, even today, we don't know the long-term consequences necessarily of some of those specific drugs, but certainly with respect to the transgender pharmaceuticals, there are no long-term studies peer-reviewed that show the efficacy or not of taking these very powerful pharmaceuticals. And, you know, we may not know for some time. And in fact, has resulted in a situation where clinicians and institutions and academics and elementary schools and the entire gamut of this supply chain have to fall back on protocols established by an organization called WPATH. WPATH stands for the World Professional Association of Transgender Health. It's technically a medical professional body established in the 1970s. But I think what's unique about it is that it is for sure, you know, a medical entity, but it is also an advocacy organization and a political advocacy organization, for sure. So in so far as they are advocating for the advancement of transgenderism. So in other words, the protocols and clinical protocols that health systems, you know, large and small, are falling back on are the standards that WPATH it has enacted over the years.
So can I ask you, Pastor, one second? So in order for all of these therapies to become mainstream, you have to change the definition of gender dysphoria from something that you treat, a problem, a psychiatric illness. You have to change it from that to something very different.
In fact, the clinical history shows just that. So in 1952, the first sex reassignment surgery happened, I believe at Johns Hopkins with a patient named Christine Jorgensen. It was very big news at the time. And then about 10 years later, Johns Hopkins established the first gender clinic for purposes of performing sex reassignment surgeries. But for most of the 20th century and certainly the post-war period, transgenderism or gender dysphoria, as it's become known, was deemed to be a mental illness. It was called transsexualism or gender identity disorder. This was kind of the basis for understanding treatment, and it was deemed to be psychiatric. However, in 2013, the American Psychiatric Association amended DSM. DSM is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Illness.
Yes.
And in this change, they altered the nomenclature of the condition such that transsexualism or gender identity disorder became gender dysphoria. And what's significant about this change...
So this is why the term transsexual, which was the term of art that people used, all people on all sides of the question, has disappeared.
Of course. And well, I mean, let's face it. If you remove the pharmaceuticals, if you remove the surgeries, what are you left with? You're left with a transvestite.
Right.
You're left with a crossdresser.
Right.
And that's it. And that's what it was for decades and decades. I mean, there were, you know, okay, like I said, some surgeries here and there, very small numbers, but really what we're seeing today accelerated after 2010.
But I think most people, if I can interject, didn't feel as threatened by that or threatened at all, speaking for myself, because the stakes are low.
Yeah.
You put on different clothes, it's an eccentric copy of yours or whatever it is.
Right.
But you're not defacing your body. You're not stopping the natural process of maturation.
Right.
Right?
So by defining this condition is gender dysphoria, what it effectively achieved was removing the notion that this is a psychosexual disorder and that is in fact a conflict between a subjective self perception of gender or even a social perception of gender and one's natural feelings about gender. And
right.
Therefore, that can be that distress from that comes from the discontinuity between those two can be alleviated by surgeries and these very radical pharmaceuticals.
So I feel like I was born in the wrong body through plastic surgery and drugs. I can eliminate all of the anxiety that comes from feeling like I'm trapped.
That is the argument. And certainly for many like transgender patients, they report positive benefits from the process. However, many, many also report regret, severe physical ailments that come from the surgeries themselves, which we can get into, and the complications that arise from those, and then, of course, the pharmaceuticals.
Well, let's get into that if we could, because sure. I spent, I don't know, the last 5 years talking about transgender stuff on TV, and debating people on it, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone describe what exactly the surgeries are. I don't think you're allowed to ask. I haven't Googled for photographs because I'm not sure I want to see them, but that's like not part of the conversation. Like the details have kind of been omitted here. So what are the surgeries?
They're purposely omitted.
So, well, okay. So let's get specific and turn this off if it bothers you.
No. For instance, I think probably one of the most graphic and invasive procedures is called a vaginoplasty. And that is where a male to female patient is castrated, testicles are removed, the penis is inverted to create a vaginal cavity, and then skin grafting is used to create other elements of female genitalia, vulva, labia, etc. But what we found is that there was a study from California.
They can't even do lip filler in a convincing way in this country. You can't tell me they can recreate something as complex as female genitalia. I'm sorry.
Of course they can. And there's a study out of California of 869 vaginoplasty patients. And of those 869, 25% post-op had side effects to the surgery that were so severe that they required additional hospitalization. Of those 25%. Yes. And of those 25%, 44 had to have major revisional surgery due to bowel injuries, bleeding. Also associated with this particular procedure is total loss of sensation. In other words, sexual functioning.
Total loss.
Irreversible. So, that's one of the, I think the more, it's, one of the more explosive of these procedures, but, it also includes mastectomies, which are performed at increasingly rate on minors, on girls. Even the Biden administration has kind of tacitly endorsed genital reconstructive surgery for minors on a case-by-case basis. This was promulgated by, I believe, Admiral Levine, Rachel Levine.
Oh, the dude in the military outfit.
Sure.
But can I ask, so like 10 years ago, again, just having spent life in cable news, I remember all the debates. You sort of wonder, like, whatever happened to that? Like the female genital mutilation, FGM, this was something that your garden variety NPR donor was very upset about.
Sure.
Like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody mentioned female genital mutilation in the United States in quite some time now. Is that because we now officially engage in it?
Of course, we export it to the rest of the world. The rest of the world, the rest of the developed world, which were, in fact, the Scandinavian countries in particular had prior in the early 2000s and in the 90s even, were really at the forefront of this field of medicine.
I thought it was the Muslims who had these crazy radical ideologies and they were exporting female genital mutilation, and now it's
well
West.
actually in Iran, Iran is one of the largest centers for sex reassignment surgery in the world.
What?
Yeah, because they're anti-gay and transgenderism. It's a very quietly held but widely held view, I think, amongst the LGB community. the transgenderism is anti-LGB.
Well, of course it is.
Of course it is. And in Iran, where homosexuality is illegal, they have a very simple solution. Vaginoplasty.
Cut it off?
Yeah. So,
well, you just blown my mind. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, in terms of the pace of growth for, let's say, clinics serving pediatric patients on gender issues, in last 15 years in the United States, we had zero, now to over 100.
Clinics.
Clinics for kids.
Why?
It's very complicated. It's a very complicated question, and there's a lot of different reasons why. I would say that the biggest single policy catalyst for this explosion is Obamacare. When Obamacare was enacted in 2010, there was a kind of very quietly kind of written into the law a provision in which insurance companies were mandated to provide coverage for what is deemed to be medically necessary gender-affirming care. As a result of that, between 2010 and 2016, there was a 50% increase in sex reassignment surgeries, 25% increase in insurance coverage for transgender individuals. And then at the very end of the Obama administration, 2016, an additional amendment to the Affordable Care Act was made whereby gender identity could no longer be a basis for denial of coverage by private insurance companies. As a result of that, the next year, from 2016 to 2017, there was 150% increase in sex reassignment surgeries in the United States. The Trump administration, very early on, revoked this provision. And then, of course, the Biden administration put it back in place, within the first 100 days.
So they're required to pay for it. How expensive is it?
Well, a total transformation, or a transition rather, for male to female is approximately $142,000.
And what does that entail?
That would entail what's called bottom surgery and top surgery.
So that would be castration, fake non-functional vagina,
and
breast implants.
Exactly.
But that does not... this is too crazy. It's almost too crazy.
It's perverse.
Can I just ask a question? Does anyone study the sex lives of post-op transsexuals? Like, how are they?
Well, as I said, for many patients that have, especially the male to females that have procedures, genital reconstruction procedures, they face a lifetime of zero sexual function because they lose sensitivity, in this artificial vagina.
What about constructing an artificial penis? Are they better at that?
That seems to be more efficacious because it involves
less complicated.
Well, it's less complicated. It's also part of the process of let's say administering testosterone to women results in an enlargement of the clitoris.
Yes.
And that can be used as a basis to create a neophallus. So that's one procedure. That costs about $50,000. That can actually cost up to $150,000 depending on the health system, but it's generally about $50,000.
So in that specific case, since we know that testosterone and estrogen too, these are really powerful chemicals.
Mm.
And they're implicated in all kinds of health. They're necessary, but they're implicated in health disorders like cancer, but others as well. If you pump a man full of estrogen or a woman full of testosterone, like what are the health consequences of that? Leaving aside, sex identity.
Again, we have no long-term studies on the long-term effects of these pharmaceuticals on transgender patients. There's simply not. So clinicians fall back on guidelines established by WPATH,
by a transgender political group.
Yes. Yes. This is a very interesting anecdote about WPATH. There was a clinical psychologist at UCSF who is the U.S. chapter president of WPATH. And she,
okay. I've had enough of that crazy shit, but you know, I get it. I fully understand this. Here's another fucked up thing we have got into. Besides electric cars and fucked up bullshit like that, we got into this fucking transgender bullshit. And it's all about money.
All about
these
money.
These politicians, mm-hmm. these motherfuckers, set this shit up for their buddies. That's what it's all about, man. Here, let me do this, and you promote this shit as the best thing ever to fucking happen. And, you know, force the American taxpayer to fucking spend tax money on these goddamn projects of, like, you know, electric vehicles and getting your dick cut off and, you know, your vagina plugged with a new dick. You know what I'm saying? What is the sense in that? And there you heard the guy say it was injecting in Obamacare, you know. Fuck. You got to be bullshit.
Well, you know exactly what it is. It's called mental illness. They're
yeah.
crazy.
Well, it's well, I know
they're
it's
fucking
crazy.
Nuts.
It's because they're doing it for money. You know, and people
well,
actually falling into
well,
this shit.
Well,
these
you
young
know,
kids are being,
I don't
these
know.
Young kids are being taught some stupid shit. And they're thinking, then they're thinking, "Am I well? That's the way to be. I need to become a girl. I don't need to be a little boy. Fuck that shit. You know, I could fucking sling my pussy around, get all the money I want from motherfucking swinging dicks. You know,
I don't
that's
think
what it seems like.
I don't think it. I don't think it's because of money. People have mental illness, whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Okay.
I
they're,
got
they're,
that gun, but look at the money they're making off this old bro. Look at the money they're making.
I mean, there. I mean, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The people that promote it are the ones making the money. Yeah, absolutely. 100,000% agree, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that are doing it are because of their mental illness, okay, are going along with it. You know, one day I want to wake up, I'm a girl, but I want to be a boy. Or I wake up
right.
as a boy, and one day I want to be a girl. So I whack it off or glue something on, and then, oh, me, yes, it's me now. See, here, they're fucked up in the head, I'm telling you. Fucked up
oh,
in the head.
Oh, yeah, they are, but there again, if you can convince people, that's what I'm saying, convincing
well,
these people that this shit can
yeah,
be done,
anything.
This is what you might be, you know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
You know, and perfectly, attack these kids when they're coming into puberty. You know, then these puberty blockers and shit. I never heard of such thing in my life. And none of this shit is FDA
nope.
approved.
Of course not.
That's what kind of yeah. So whatever, they can do whatever the fuck they want. Wow. So, but they're paying for it. I mean, there's money involved here. Somewhere along the line, there's some fucking money involved.
Well, you know, there's money involved on anything. I don't care what it is. There's always money
right.
involved.
But
these
you know,
people
sick fucker
have
for having the idea anyway. Can't there other things you could do to make money?
Yeah.
You know, instead
but
of fucking
you're pushing
you know,
the
fucking these little kids up.
Yeah, but you're pushing an agenda. You're pushing depopulation because
mm-hmm.
if you whack your dick off, how are you going to procreate?
Right.
Or
and
you
then,
get
then,
it changed
like,
into a
you
pussy.
Have, you have no feeling.
It's
no
not
more
working.
Either.
It doesn't,
oh, yeah.
It doesn't work. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can have a pussy, yeah, but does it work? Can you have a baby? No.
No.
So there's your population, depopulation, and eugenics. Is it called? I think
well, but also,
eugenics?
But also the fact of but you lose sensation. What's the sense in it?
Yeah,
what
the hell? I mean,
why don't you just use what you're equipped with to keep the sensation going on, you know? I mean, that's the whole fucking point, you know? Wow. It's the motherfucker that does it. If you do it to yourself, you fucking deserve what you got.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
you deserve
except for the children.
Yeah.
Any child. No, that should not be happening. That should not be allowed. The parent that allows it to happen,
no.
they need to be fucking shot.
Oh yeah, they should be shot too. Yeah.
You got
but like I said, if you get it switched out for say a pussy, there's no feeling there.
Uh-huh.
The nerves have been destroyed. You can't create nerves,
mm-hmm.
I don't think. I'm not a surgeon, but I don't think you can.
No,
okay.
I do not. I know, but
sure,
the guy just stated the fact that there's no sensation. So no sensation, no
yeah,
feeling.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get fucked. Okay, there's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure of that, right.
That's about it.
But
there's
no,
sensation
no sense
in
it.
There ain't no nerve.
You can't feel nothing.
No, I can't feel nothing.
You know,
so how the hell
you know
goddamn,
happened,
you know.
But you don't feel nothing down there. You know what I'm saying?
Don't feel nothing down there, no?
No.
No?
No. In other words,
that
you can't come or
sense.
Nothing no more. Your coming days are over. You ain't getting a nut off no
yep.
more.
Yeah, you need to come
that
down.
That great sensation of getting off ain't going to happen for you no more. So what is the point? That's what I'm saying. What does it, you know, it seems completely fucking senseless. But, you know, man, come on, fuck. These motherfuckers, I swear to God.
They're out of this world.
But why would the schools be involved in this? Why you're supposed to be protecting our children and teaching them right from fucking wrong in letters and numbers and the communication of life. But no, you want to teach them how to get their dick cut up or the pussy closed up and put a dick stuck on? I'm sorry. It's just no. That's just no. So they're part of the pervert. These are a bunch of fucking pedophiles, as far as I'm concerned. Child endangerment. Well, what the fuck are we talking about? These fuckers need to go to jail. They're endangering the life of that child for the rest of its life. This is psycho. This is really fucking very fucking wrong.
If you look it up here, if they get this transfer, you know, from a dick to a pussy, okay, it says here there's 10,281 nerve fibers in the average pussy.
Uh-huh.
So you're severing every one of them. You're cutting them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how are you going to feel anything? How are you going to feel anything?
Nothing.
You're not. Nothing.
No.
Not even scratch. Not even.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Huh? That's crazy.
I mean, so how do you get a hard on, you know, if that's the case? That don't, you know, since they get the artificial dick put on them. You know, how does that work? They say that the vagina does swell up, so there's a blood flow to, they could pump something up. But, I mean, I don't see it, man. I just can't, you know.
I know you got a little pump. They mount you a little pump on the outside of your leg here, and you turn the handle. Pump, 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 pump.
Yeah,
there
I can imagine something like that, and you got to charge it with your Tesla.
Hydraulics.
Your cock charger.
Hydraulics.
Do you have a cock charger? I need a 3.7 volt cock charger. I need one of those.
Yeah.
God.
They did a cock pump. There you go. Pump, you know, just pump it up 5 pounds. And,
they done made them. They used to be around. Before Viagra, that's what they used to do. You had three balls. You had a little pump in your nuts. You know?
Yes.
Pump your dick up. Yeah, they did. I'm not kidding. I knew somebody had one. He was an old guy.
Damn.
Yeah. He had one put in. It cost him a chunk of money, but he had the money to do it.
I'm sure.
But fuck nature. You know, nature's nature. What's going to happen to you happens to you. That's, you got to realize that. I mean, yeah, there's some things you need prevented if you can to keep alive and living well. But as far as self-mutilation and all that shit, what you're doing yourself, that's just fucking retarded. You deserve to get whatever you get. I seriously do. That's what I think about anymore. Like last night, the guy was arguing the fact about, you know, how more black people get arrested. Well, you know, why are, you know, all in some, on some, for no reason, I get that too. There's also white people get arrested for no reason also. But if you do something wrong and get arrested for it, well, who's to blame? The system or you? You did it. You went against the system. So who's to blame? You. You know, you robbed a fucking bank. You carjacked a motherfucker. You know, what do you expect? But now you're the fucking victim? See, and I don't care what color you are. If you do something wrong, you know, ain't, can't do it. It's wrong to do it in the first place. You knew it. It's your own fucking fault. You know, if you didn't know it, well, that's a little understandable, too. That would be a little different, but you still did it, and that's that. But, you know. You know what I mean, Gunn. Fuck Jesus, man. It's all bullshit, man. Fuck. You fuck up,
crazy.
You pay the price if you're caught. If you're caught. Think how many times you've never been caught in the shit you've done in your life, you know? Everybody is not an honest fucking Joe Schmo motherfucker. Everybody lives in a world of hustle. They play a hustle every fucking time you're out there. You know, it's all about money. Just like you see happening now in politics. This transgender shit, COVID, all that shit's all part of a game. It's all part about making money, man. That's what this all turns into, making money. You know, it's not that I want to be the guy who cures cancer. I just want to make some money to fucking prolong it or fucking something to do with it, something to help in some way. You know, that's why the supplement industry makes so much goddamn money. One, they ain't FDA approved, and they sell you whatever you want. It's up to you to believe it's fucking shit's real, you know. You know, it's just the way it is, man. It's, you got to watch that fucking mighty dollar. You know, most people have money. Most people have money because they know. They don't fall into that bullshit.
Look at the quack that cured cancer. Okay?
Right.
Go look at that documentary.
Right. I have.
The FDA and all, whatever it is, what had him in jail. They tried to prosecute him in every fucking way. It was the most amount of being arrested, a doctor, and he wasn't even a doctor. He was more of a health thing. But he said, I'll show you what I did. I'll show you how I did it. And there was tens of thousands of people that are probably still alive today because of him.
Hosky.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he said, there's one thing you got to promise me to do if I show you how to do this, how to cure cancer where it never comes back. You got to give it to the people for free. Oh, they didn't like that. Boy,
see,
they got
butthurt
over that.
Yeah, I've seen that documentary. I've seen that documentary on him.
I mean,
don't fuck with the money. Don't fuck with the money. Just like those two guys we talked about earlier, the guy that had the fucking fuel boiler and the other guy that had ran by water.
Yeah.
Both them fuckers came up dead.
Oh, yeah, of course
they
did.
Any threat to the money. Take another look. Anytime you threaten money. Lincoln, fucked with the money. Dead. Kennedy, fucked with the money. Dead.
Fucked with the money.
You know what I mean?
Dead.
Everybody thinks Watergate's the reason why he got ousted. Oh, no. He was fucking with the money, too. He was the one that pulled the gold standard away. You remember the gold? He did that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so bad where he couldn't fix it, but he had to go. You got to go, man. No, you're fucking done.
Oh, yeah.
If you would have fucked up worse, he would have fucking had you to fucking clean
up. When you do something like that, they're going to find a way to demonize you. They're going to find a way to shut you up. If they can't buy you out, if they can't shut you up, they'll kill you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. They'll kill your ass, yeah.
And it's amazing how after the fact it all comes out, in the wash of the reason why the motherfucker got killed, why it was assassinated. You know, but you got to remember the guy that they claim shot Kennedy. You know, what was the reason why he did it, supposedly? I don't know.
I don't remember. I know Kennedy was going to get us out of Vietnam, and the Federal Reserve.
Well,
that's where he got shot.
Right,
but I don't know.
Federal Reserve. There you go. That was it.
Federal Reserve. But I'm not sure exactly what's his name gave for the reason. Interesting question. Have to look that one up.
Mm-hmm.
I done forgot. If I never even really considered that. Very interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now as we speak.
But there was some lame excuse, I'm sure, the cover.
Yeah.
You know, what was the real thing? Because, they're going to do the name game, blame game. You know that. Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they can do to make you look like a dickhead. And to cover up what you seen or what you saw or what you heard or whatever, they'll do it.
See, they're blaming some doctors. The picture of Oswald was fucking fake. Let's check this out real quick. We only got about 10 minutes left. Let's check out a little bit of this. It's only 2 minutes left.
This is Cynthia McFadden. It remains one of the seminal moments in American history.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route.
Bullets fired on President Kennedy's motorcade in Dallas. An hour later, the American people are told the tragic outcome.
Excuse me, Chet. Here is a flash from the Associated Press, Dateline Dallas. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds.
Still, 54 years after that sad day, much of what happened remains shrouded in mystery. Lee Harvey Oswald was quickly arrested and just as quickly killed by a local nightclub owner, Jack Ruby.
Lee Oswald has been shot.
The mystery deepened. Was there a conspiracy to kill the president? Most Americans today believe that there was. Despite the fact the Warren Commission concluded in 1964, Oswald acted alone. Though in 1979, a House Select Committee concluded Kennedy was probably assassinated as a result of a conspiracy. Over the years, there have been dozens of books written, many movies made too. The best known of them, Oliver Stone's JFK.
Once you conclude the magic bullet could not create all seven of those wounds, you have to conclude that there was a fourth shot and a second rifle.
A good film, it won two Oscars, but good history?
There is no settled idea about who killed John Kennedy and why, and perhaps with what help. And what that means, I think, is that there is never going to be an explanation that satisfies everyone.
We do know this. That day marked the end of an era. The end, as a grieving Mrs. Kennedy suggested, of Camelot. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
NBC. All right, so that explains it. There is no explanation why he got shot.
But you're right.
He was fucking with the Federal Reserve, you know. He was fucking with the money. He wanted to get rid of it. Get rid of them fuckers. They control the world. They do it all. That's what people don't get. They have that much magnitude of money, and they can make it anytime they want it. You know, these are like gods. You know what I mean? They rule the planet, you know, type shit. Yeah. They're the only one that has the right. They have the power and the thunder to do it all. So, you know. Yeah. What do you say, guys?
And if you get in the way, they'll just knock your ass off.
Right. You look at the Bidens. Why have they not been arrested? None of that shit ever happens to these motherfuckers. And look at all the shit they've done. But no, they're part of it. They're members of the club.
They're part of it.
They can't be. As a matter of fact, Hunter just got the gun charge. What was the gun charge dropped against him? Let me look back.
I think so.
They're just going to give him some little misdemeanor tax issues. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. You're not in the club of them people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not being invited. You know? Okay, and they say there's nobody above the law? Fuck. Yeah, right. Hitler been in prison? Why ain't Biden been in prison? Why ain't all these cocksuckers been in prison? They're obviously above the law. So that little statement kind of false, ain't it?
Rudy Giuliani has announced a defamation lawsuit. I wonder who he's going. It should have got a picture of Joe Biden. Oh, boy. Let's see how that goes. Remember, he was indicted, too, at Trump.
Brutal. Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill, very, very much. He's our counsel in the state of New Hampshire, and Lou is my counsel overall, because there are going to be a lot of implications from this case. As you can tell, it has a great deal of room for expansion, because a lot of people helped Joe Biden with this terrible lie that he told. Joe Biden has spent his life telling lies, getting away with it. Now he gets away with it because you let him get away with it. You foisted it on us, I mean the press, an American president who is a pathological liar. That has implications for national security. As a result of Joe Biden's lies, people have died. Would there be a war in Ukraine if Donald Trump were president? Absolutely not.
Southern border.
Putin invaded Ukraine and Georgia three times. One time with Biden, one time with Obama, one time with Bush. Only time he didn't, Trump was the president. Afghanistan. So in some ways, the damage done to me is less severe. He didn't get me killed, although there have been death threats. His lies cost me a good deal of my law practice. It cost me directly a good deal of my million-person audience on Common Sense, where I was cut off by YouTube, which operates as a co-conspirator in another conspiracy of Biden's, which is to suppress free speech. It cost me clients in my consulting business. I haven't calculated the amount. We can do that later, but it's in the millions and billions of dollars. Being called a Russian pawn and being called by the leading candidate of the Democratic Party, a facilitator of Russian disinformation, is an extraordinarily damaging thing. It may be that a lot of people don't believe him, but a lot of people do believe him. Go look at the public opinion polls. So those people believed that I was working with Putin. That is 100%, 1,000% untrue. Not only that, it's been proven untrue. It was proven untrue by the FBI 6 months before he said it. It was proven untrue by the FBI again 3 weeks before he said it. It was proven untrue by 7 or 8 agencies, and eventually, 16 months later, after they had destroyed my law practice, destroyed my consulting business, gotten me pretty close to bankruptcy, they all admitted that it was a mistake, it was wrong, there was no Russian collusion. The New York Times and the Washington Post had a little article, not this big, that they had engaged in vicious, deliberate, horrible lying. But the article was this big, and they had already destroyed me by the time they printed it. And what they printed is it was unequivocally untrue. The information comes from a man in Delaware named John Mac Isaacs. He's that has been verified by every federal agency imaginable. It was given to me and my lawyer, Bob Costello, and we gave it to the New York Post that then ended up being censored. First time in the history of America. America's oldest newspaper cut off to tell you that we had a fascist-like interference with free speech.
So Giuliani is suing Biden. Okay, that's cool.
Well, good.
You know, how many more lawsuits going to hit this month? I don't know. Is he exempt from lawsuits? I guess not. I guess he doesn't have that, you know. I don't know. I know judges and prosecutors can come from it. But.
If they could sue a sitting president like Poopy Pants, mm-hmm. then he's mm-hmm. not sitting anymore, so obviously they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe. Wow. I don't know. That's crazy. Yeah, so fuck.
This goes all over the fucking country. It does. It goes from the top all the way down.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is the most corrupt
yeah.
bullshit that I have ever seen in my life. I was watching a documentary last night. It's called Burn, B-U-R-N, Burn. Very good documentary on Detroit and the fall of Detroit, Motor City.
Right.
And it's about the fire department. Maybe you're a fireman. You ought to watch it. It's pretty cool. It's about the fire department. And they bitching and everything about, you know, their equipment's falling apart and half their fire trucks are always in the shop and ambulances are always in the shop and everything. And you know, the fuckers are sitting on millions of dollars, trillions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
They can face them goddamn fire trucks with no fucking problem.
Yep.
Okay. I called this one down here, the local fire department down here, Red Oak, Texas, Red Oak Fire Department down here, and I asked them, how do they get their fucking fire trucks? They said, we got a grant. We have a grant writer.
Right.
That writes grants, and they get these million-dollar fucking fire trucks. So, wow. So you see how much money they're sitting on.
Oh, yeah. Well, shit, we got one of the fire trucks out here. We got it for $1, and it's a nice one, real nice rig. Okay, it's a Mac, and it had everything on. It has everything on. I'm sure they let it go to shit since then. But anyway, it was under a grant that they got, and they got they bought like three new fire trucks, so they had to get rid of some of their trucks. And since we were a small fire department in Missouri, they let us buy it for a dollar under some type of grant thing, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. So that's, it was a sweet deal. Of course, I know there ain't been nobody down there to take care of it. I'm sure it's all fucked up now, but, everything's fucked up down there. So, fucking people, man. They're everywhere, everywhere. Well, Gunn, my friend, we're out of time, bro. It's that time. Thanks for coming, hanging out with me. Nobody else showed up. Kind of strange, isn't it? But we've had it before. We've done it before. It's no big deal. Yeah. I'm not going to lose my mind like G.S. Whatever. Yeah, but he don't care. Nobody ever comes to this fucking show anyway. So, he ain't got nobody to hang out with him, man. He's fucking, well, he is what he is. But well, that's what we see in the world, though, Gunn. That's the shit we see in the world, just like him. Shit just like him is so fucking stupid. You don't want to be around people like that, common sense, fuck no. That's the last motherfucker, They go down flames or taking you with them. That's how the fuck they are, man. Fuck him. He's a wackaloon.
With numb nuts, it started going downhill for the past few years.
Right.
It's like, yay me, fuck you. I'm smarter than you, and I've got this, and I've got backup, and that's it.
Well, the shit went south of him when he fucking pulled the bullshit he said about Mike.
That started right there. Yeah.
You're right.
Right.
So, then he went down from that point. I mean, he fucked old Julie over. And she sent him a brand new fucking smart TV and pizzas and all kinds of shit. Tried to be nice to him and just right, what can you call it? It's nothing. He's nothing but a fucking idiot. Fucking idiot.
He's an idiot.
I had people helping fucking me. Idiot. Fuck, I sent him a brand new fucking condenser fucking studio mic and all kinds of shit, man. All brand new. Brand new.
Ungrateful
idiot.
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fucking worthless, man. All right, Big Gunn. I'm going to jump off here, and I guess we'll try to do it again tonight, too, Thursday night. I'll try to do it earlier if I don't sleep all fucking day and night. But, hey, it was great. I feel excellent, though, I tell you. I do. I feel good as a motherfucker. I needed it. So, all right, my brother. I'm going to throw this song up, and I will see you later. Have a good night, man.
All right, later.
I wish that I could fly.